So welcome everyone to the Center for Spiritual Living, coming to you live out of Midtown, out of all over Atlanta. We have folks on our call and folks who are listening from all over the world. Very excited about that. I find it to be a wonderful thing. It is part of the vision of our mother organization that we want to create a world that works for everyone and that we are reaching so many people to do that. And they have there's a goal of, I've forgotten how many million people. Thanks to the internet, we are already reaching people everywhere. It's so exciting with this good news message. So we are a community. We are a community that celebrates oneness. We're a community that celebrates truth and celebrates life as we understand it. We are a diverse community with people from all ages, all walks of life, all ethnicities, and I mean, really all, just about. And we are one that celebrates the unique and individuality of each person, whatever their group or style. And we really love and appreciate you, whoever you are, wherever you are. This is a community that you can participate in a way that will give you a real sense of connection, a sense of appreciation for who you are, a place to explore ideas, a place to find tools, spiritual tools for improving, increasing, and enjoying a greater life than you have perhaps up until now. So I welcome you. I welcome you to this time together. I remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. And so am I. And so it is. And I would add to that, and you're wonderful, wherever, whoever, however you are. So if you will join me at this time, we will take a few moments and share with each other what our principles are. What is our declaration of principle? This was written by our founder. And it was very quickly done, and it's been slightly modified over the years, but not much, because he was so clear in what he brought forward. So if you would like to read it along with me, I'll share it with you. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life, the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. So today we have a real treat for us. We always have someone at this point, one of our spiritual mind practitioners. A practitioner is someone who has practiced this teaching and has demonstrated the ability to bring healing to themselves and to others by using it. They've demonstrated it. They've been tested. They've been spent many years in education and training. So we always highlight someone from our center. Today we have a guest from beautiful St. Petersburg. She's been a practitioner for quite a long time. She's been in the teaching for a long time. She won't tell us how long, because I think it probably would give away that she was only 12 when she started. But she's a wonderful person. She's a wonderful teacher. She's been a teacher forever. It's her, teaching is her life. It's her calling. It's her mission. So I without further discussion, let me introduce you to my friend, Norma Roberts.
Oh, thank you so very much, Reverend Dean. And thank all of you for being here and inviting me. But I'd like to start off with a story. And it's a story to show how a different perspective of an individual can really change a life. It's about a father of a physical and mentally disabled child who was speaking at a fundraising dinner, and he told a tear-jerking story about the day he and his son, Shay, walked past a park where some boys were playing baseball. Shay asked, "Dad, do you think they'll let me play?" The father knew Shay's handicap would prevent him from moving about as other boys, and he asked one of the boys on the field if Shay could play. It was decided that since their team was losing anyway by 6 runs, and it's in the 8th inning, Shay would be allowed to play and would be put into bat in the 9th inning. It was the bottom of the 8th inning, and the team was still behind by 3 scores. At the bottom of the 9th inning, there were 2 outs. The bases were loaded with the potential winning run on base when Shay went up to bat. Everyone saw that it was impossible for Shay to even make contact with the ball, so the opposing team made some adjustments. He tossed the ball softly towards Shay. Shay swung and hit a slow ground ball right back to the pitcher. But the boys adjusted again for that. And everyone from the stands and both teams started yelling, "Run, Shay! Run to first! Shay! Shay, run to first!" Shay had never run that far in his life, and he scampered down the baseline, assisted by team members. Everyone yelled, "Run to second, Shay! Run to second!" Shay ran to second, and on the third, and the runners ahead of him circled the bases toward home. Everyone was now screaming, "Shay, Shay, all the way, Shay!" As the opposing shortstop ran to help direct him and turn him in the right direction. The boys from both teams, as well as the spectators, were on their feet screaming, "Shay, run home!" With assistance, Shay ran to home, stepped on the plate, and was cheered as a hero who hit the grand slam and won the game for his team. Shay was ecstatic by all this attention and being called a hero, something he would never forget. "That day," said the father, with tears rolling down his face, "the boys from both teams helped bring a piece of true love and humanity into the world. And that's what happens when we decide to uplift someone, regardless of what they look like. Showing we are really better together." And now I'd like you all to join me, and I invite you to just take a deep breath and relax. Join me in knowing the truth and accept as much as you can for yourself as I speak in the first person. There is but one life. That life is God life, and that life is my life now. Since God is all that I am, the Spirit of God within me binds itself to the Spirit of God in everyone I meet. And there is nothing but love between us. I am surrounded by God's love, peace, power, prosperity, harmony, and joy. And these are the loving vibrations that I send out to everyone, everywhere, and attract them to myself from everyone. Knowing I am a part of infinite wholeness, I gladly live in its omnipresence, experiencing deep peace and unity. I joyfully think with God's wisdom, blessing every illumined idea that flows through me to benefit me and my world. I am not misled by negative appearances, but I know that everything is working for my good. It's working for me, never failing, because God is all there is. It is through my understanding of this principle that I right now claim my experience of perfect health, abundant wealth, wonder-filled creative self-expression, and joyous personal relationships. With great thanksgiving, I release this word into the law that always responds by corresponding. I accept this is so, and I allow its perfect manifestation in my world as together we say. And so it is. Thank you.
So it is. Thank you so much. I'm glad you warned me it was a tearjerker. Thank you.
Beautiful. I loved it.
We are one. Welcome. And, you know, there's a village up in the high Andes. It's the people who live there are descendants of the ancient Inca, who were master builders and master engineers. The things they created, if you've ever been or want to go, that's a beautiful part of the world to see what cultures and what people can do together. But in the current world, in the current day, there's a particular area where two villages are separated by a river. And between the two villages, is that river, but the cliffs on each side of that river and run for miles are 600 to 800 feet deep. So there's no crawling down and crossing the river. But they have a tradition there every year in the fall when the grasses on the sides of the mountains mature and turn brown and finish their life cycle. The people go out in both villages, everyone in both villages, and cut the grass, shear it off as much as they can carry, and bring it back to the riverbank, to the cliff top. There they begin to take the two little strands of grass and begin rubbing it together with their hands and begin to create a length of rope that's very thin, about the size of your little finger, and they stretch it out about 6 or 8 feet. And then they make another one, and they keep doing this until they get lots of them. And they begin then to weave those together and until they've created a larger rope, and then they weave those together until they end up with ropes probably this big around that are long enough to stretch from one side of the river, from one side of the cliff to the other. And then they go to where the old bridge is. There's a bridge made of straw between the two villages. And at the end of the year, the end of the fall season, after the rope is created, the elder mother of the villages, whichever side has the elder, walks the bridge for the last time. By that time, it's fairly rickety and it's fairly well worn, so there's some concern sometimes about whether she'll make it safely. And yet she does the walk and she makes it safely, usually, and she blesses the bridge as she walks across. She thanks the straw for all it's done. And then once she's across, the younger folk run short ropes, small ropes across the bridge, and then cut the bridge so that it falls back into the river and returns to Pachamama, to Mother Earth, to go through the next cycles of life, whatever that will be. And then they take those rope that they've made as a community and stretch them across that span, several hundred yards, and they create this amazing walking bridge out of that grass, that straw. It starts as a tiny little blade of grass, but bound together and wound together by human ingenuity and by the communities really working together and everyone being involved. When they get the main parts of the bridge strung, then the filling in part is done from both sides until they meet in the middle and the builders have ceremony, they celebrate, they give thanks, they send great appreciation and then begin to use the bridge to connect with their relatives, to be back and forth, and it goes for the whole year. That bridge, or a version of that bridge, has hung there for hundreds and hundreds of years, every year being replaced in this same way by the collective compassion and caring and working together. And it's a rite of passage when you, as they were interviewing some of these folks, it's a rite of passage when they are trained to and really learn how to make the rope and the bigger ropes. And then the stronger people, whether they're male or female, end up doing the large rope weaving. And the rite of passage is teaching one generation after the next to love and appreciate each other, to love and appreciate the collective effort of creating a world that works for them, that connects the two sides of the river. It's a beautiful story. I always get emotional when I've seen it. By the way, if you want to see it, it's on PBS. But I get emotional because right now, I, and as many of you are having the experience, there's some big bridges that we have going on here between us and the outside world, at least in my experience. Many of us are taking good care of ourselves and protecting ourselves and staying inside and not having the usual kinds of, I miss Sunday morning hugs. I miss Sunday morning coffee after the celebration. And for so many people, this missing, this time, is really a loss. Lots of folks are living in isolation and really struggling with that. People are living without their usual human contact that they would experience or express. And what happens in that is, also if there's a loss of family members or whatever, that creates a longing and a hunger and a missing. One of our members that I will not name has just gone through tremendous loss. He lost his partner of 40 years. Now he's going to be losing his place where he was living. He's also lost his ability to take care of himself and live alone. So he's going through this huge thing. And he's doing what every human does. One day, I get a text or we have a conversation and all he can feel and think and see is how sad he is, how alone he feels. I would not say there was anything wrong about any of that. That aloneness, that is very, very real for him and very real for many people right now. And then on the other days, and sometimes in the same day, I get a text, as I did this morning, saying, I am so grateful for the community of Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. I'm grateful to the board and the practitioners who've been in touch with me. I'm grateful for the flowers that I've received. I'm grateful for the cards. And in that gratitude, and in just the excitement of his voice or the excitement of the text, I can hear and feel that sudden shift. Huge gratitude for the people taking care of him now and the people where he's been hospitalized. And what a great gift they're bringing to him. And he recognizes that and sees that. And as soon as he does, he no longer feels isolated and alone. Gratitude is the bridge. Gratitude is the bridge that can bridge us out of a feeling of being isolated, alone, and lost in our losses because people have them. Because as soon as you move into a thought of gratitude, you're connected because your gratitude's got to be for something or somebody. Usually it's somebody. And as soon as I am aware in my consciousness of my gratitude for something or somebody, I've bridged that place between my feeling of being alone and my recognition that I am part of something so huge and so wonderful and so connected. There's a passage in the Bible, an ancient collection of wonderful wisdom teachings, that says, in all things, be grateful. I used to hate that scripture when I was a good Baptist. And I did because I thought it said, for all things, be grateful. And I'm like, oh no. There's some stuff going on in my life I will not be grateful for, I am not grateful for, and cannot possibly be grateful for. But what it's really saying is, in the midst of whatever is going on, be grateful. Find something, somewhere, some way. Even if it's as simple as I'm grateful for the next breath I take. Right now, I'm doing an active practice of gratitude. Because as I have chosen, made the choices I have about staying at home and not engaging in a lot of usual social activity, I, by the way, am not socially isolating, but I am physically isolating or physically distancing. What I discover is that there are so many things and so many people I had taken for granted who now I recognize such gratitude for them. And I recognize it in my making the choice I have, I'm providing not only for myself, but for many other people as well. I help pay the salaries of a whole fleet of people who bring me groceries every week. I pay, help support and pay for things that are, other people are providing that give them goodness and good by having a chance to participate in that way. I'm seeing our community connections. I'm seeing how together we're building ropes and we're putting things together to create a life that bridges this nonsense of separation and oneness. And when I can see that physically in my everyday world, then it's not a long step from there into being able to hold on to and stand truthfully in this idea. We all come from the same source. We are all still connected to that same source. We are still within that same source. Therefore, we are one. We're each individualized versions of this thing called a human being. Love buckets in all of its different forms. Opportunities to create and express, which is what we're about as human beings. And yet each one unique in their own approach, their own desires, their own idea of their individual version of that. See, and part of what that's about is recognizing that my version is a good version for me. I can't be your version. You don't want me to be. I don't want to be. You don't want to be my version, believe me. I love mine, but it's mine. So we each find our own versions of who we are and how we live in this loving, rich, and wonderful way that includes and must include our love for ourselves and our loves for each other and the love that we carry and have all throughout our experiences in our everyday world. Listen, if you will, to, I want to share with you Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of our wonderful teaching, his a version. Whoops, I think I just shared all of you instead. Back up, stop. Well, that was a brilliant exercise in finding out that I'm not perfect. You already knew that, I know, but... it's all disappeared. Okay, I can't share it right now. So it doesn't matter. The idea here is that as he says in the textbook, we must unconditionally love ourselves. And ourself includes the part of ourselves that is everyone else. Loving ourselves unconditionally is loving our uniqueness, our complexity. And loving the versions of ourselves that are walking around saying hello out there in the world. And honoring all of the wonderful diversity. Goodness knows how boring it would be if we were the same. And in doing that, we find our world looking more and more bright and beautiful. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago on this call the information on spiritual growth. And the third phase of spiritual growth is a phase where we are no longer working our spirituality just individually. We must still do our own work, and we must still do our own inner work and outer work, but we can no longer do it alone. And as soon as we start to engage other people through gratitude, if nothing else, we have moved into that third phase of spiritual growth. As soon as we see the two or more and the importance of the two or more, that's, you know, our practitioners serve such a great ministry in that respect. They provide the two or more for many people who are looking for support and looking for help and looking for ideas that would be above and beyond what they might find otherwise. So the two or more shows up there. It shows up in a phone call. It shows up when you talk to your family or your kids. It shows up when you feel and express gratitude to anyone, anywhere, when you think about it. Then you've moved into that third phase of spiritual growth, where you're no longer doing it alone, where we support each other in our growth and in our knowing the truth, and where sometimes that support may look like someone mirroring back to you that says, Bob, you sure that's who you are and how you want to be? Not always a pleasant thing to experience, but always a loving, positive thing to experience. You know, individually and as a group, we're kind of like a tapestry. Tapestries are made from threads run vertically and horizontally. And they're woven, they're crisscrossed. They go, one goes above the other, just like weaving a basket or any other kind of weaving that you've seen. And as you well know, the threads that go across are totally cover up the underneath vertical threads that go through. And so as a tapestry is made and those horizontal threads go and they're packed down right next to each other against one another, holding and beginning to create a beautiful pattern, what isn't seen when the pattern is created, you don't see the vertical strands, which are absolutely necessary to holding it all together. And for we humans, that strand of our lives that shows that we get to see on the outside our experiences, our personalities, our choices, our beautiful creations, all of that, that's just one part of the picture. The other part are those vertical strands within us, which are the connection, absolute connection with the infinite, that cannot be broken, because if it's broken, the whole thing falls apart. But the truth is, those vertical strands are just as important as the ones that show, perhaps more important. You can change the tapestry by changing what's going on the horizontal strands, but those vertical strands kind of stay the same. So it is our connection with spirit, the invisible part of our lives, that is most powerful and that holds it all together, both individually, as a community, and as a world of human beings in a human race. I always think that's such a crazy term, human race. Where are we racing to? I think we're racing to discover ourselves, what life's about, where it's going to go. And the deeper and the greater we discover it, the less fast we have to go, the less we race, and the more we accept and love and really depend on those vertical expressions. So it is the invisible that matters, that brings life, that keeps us together and in harmony. Title of today's talk, it's better together, because together we get to see and experience one another's tapestries. We get to experience and become a tapestry all of our own that's pulled together from all of who we are, with the same vertical threads for all of us. It's just the individuation that shows up in our horizontal threads as we create them with great joy and beauty, which is why it's so easy to appreciate our differences. I invite you to spend some time thinking about this week. And if you find a desire for some two or more, we have some things going on for that on Tuesdays at noon. You can contact our practitioners. you're not alone out there, wherever out there is for you. You're not alone. No matter how alone you may feel, no matter what your little chatterbrain is telling you about that, just look around for something of value to be grateful for, and you will immediately begin to experience the truth that I'm speaking. You deserve this because you're wonderful, and so am I. So it is. So I want to invite you to join me, if you would, in a bit of quiet meditation, and followed up by a spiritual mind treatment. So I will invite you just to be still and quiet for a few moments to allow. Just kind of soaking up my words. Don't worry about what you think about them as much as, does any of it really ring true? And if so, are there any parts of it that particularly reach out to you? Does anyone come to mind as I've gone through this and we've talked that you know right in this moment you have such gratitude and appreciation for? You may not even know them. But take a moment in your mind and say thank you. Think of your own life. Take a moment and be grateful. Be grateful for the kid you used to be. Some of us still are. Grateful for the innocence and the figuring things out and the mistakes that we've made so many of just to learn how to be and how to do and what would work for us. Gratitude for your environment, perhaps. For the food that you have available. For all of the hordes of people that help bring that to you and put it on your table. Grateful for the interconnectedness of all of our cultures and our cultural experiences, our communities, our families, both our chosen families and our birth families. And so I recognize that we are indeed immersed in an infinite universal power, an infinite universal good that is creating everything that is out of itself and nothing else. Therefore, I am an expression, a creation of that one power, and I am not now or ever can be separated from it because I'm made of it. The energy that vibrates and fires my body is the energy of God, the energy that takes shape and form as matter that becomes the physical experience of my body is made of spirit as well. So there is no part of me. Human simply means an expression of the infinite, not something less than. And so I look at every person and realize that they are made of the same vertical, beautiful tapestry creations, held together by oneness, held together by the beauty they bring, the uniqueness of what they've created on their in their horizontal expressions. The ranges of color and religion and ethnic choices, foods, all of those things that make us so wonderfully, beautifully unique and different and yet the same. And yet underneath and behind it, united spiritually. And so I forgive myself for any times that I've looked at another person and thought them less than, thought them anything other than whole, perfect, and complete. For in truth, that is who we all are, whether thinking of myself or someone else. I cannot possibly ever be alone because of who I am and where I live. And that idea brings me great comfort and great joy, regardless of the experiences around me. So knowing this, I choose to be grateful. Grateful that this is the world I live in. This is the universe I participate in. This is the hidden life of that is mine and everyone else's. Grateful that I understand this. Grateful I'm having some ideas and starting to understand it. And grateful that there is so much more to be explored and known than I have yet figured out. An infinite universe with infinite possibilities. So in this gratitude and from this place, I can release this treatment now, knowing it is complete and done for me for this day. These ideas are implanted in my mind. They are implanted in God's mind. Therefore, they are the mind. I let it be because it is. And so it is. Deep breath, everyone. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to be with you today and for you being here with us, whether you're here on Zoom or Facebook Live or watching this on YouTube at some point. Grateful for everyone who makes us who we are. So thank you. This time we're going to hear from one of our board members and the techno guy over and above the top, par excellence, Vance. Blue.
Thank you, Dr. Bob.
Hey, Vance.
Awesome.
That's Sufi applause, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. That was a great talk. That tapestry was a great visualization of what we all are in this life. So I'm going to share my screen with you for our affirmation of prosperity, which goes into this gratitude that Bob was talking about. And give me 1 second, that slide up here. And you can say this with me, say it out loud. It is all about us. Here you go. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And I'm going to stop that for a minute. And in this year of ups and downs and all kinds of crazy stuff that we are going through, I want to say that this has been something in my consciousness, and I hope it's been in yours, or you bring it into your consciousness, that we are living in an abundant universe, that everything that has come about comes about for a reason, and we are flowing in that. And I know for me, it's been an extremely abundant year. It's And I'm deeply grateful for that. And so my intention at the beginning of the year, which looked nothing like what the year ended up being, but has been amazingly abundant. And I am grateful for that. Willing to share. We have multiple ways to give. There's a way on the website. Cynthia put in the chat, ccelmidtown.org/donate is a great place to do that with our Realm giving system, which is really easy to use and do that. And you can also mail in a donation to Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, P.O. Box 14303, Atlanta, Georgia, 30324-1303. So the theme for this month, we've got one more Sunday in this, is inclusion in action. Next Sunday, Dr. Bob speaking with I Am. That should be an amazing talk with that word of God, what is I Am. On Tuesdays, as Dr. Bob mentioned, we have Tuesdays from 12 to 12:30, the same meeting ID you got onto this meeting with, and you can join that for a midweek uplift. And our Sunday morning discussion group is back, joining the same Zoom. Starts at 10 a.m. on Sunday, so it goes from 10. Put you in a breakout room, and we're going through the Science of Mind textbook that you can go through, and it has readings for every day of the week, every day of the year to go through, and then have a discussion on that on Sundays. Like I said, our contribution system is ACS Realm. It's up and running on the website. And we have amazing practitioners, several of whom have put their contact information into the chat. Their information is also on the website, cslmidtown.org. So if you've got something going on that you need help with, that is something awesome for two or more gathered together to help you with whatever's going on in your life, whether it's physical, financial, whatever it is, they're there to help you with your life to make it better. So on to that, I give it back to Dr. Bob.
All right. Well, this has been a wonderful morning for me. Thank you all again for being here. I just wanted to just add a to, well, I don't know that I'm adding to it, but I just want to say that our information will be coming out shortly, hopefully by next week, on the new class, which will be a class entitled Mental Equivalence. If that sounds like gibberish, good. Come on and find out how it really is the powerful building block of your life. And we'll be doing that for, I think it's a 6 weeks class. It'll start later in September or mid-September. Right now we're finishing up the one that we started a few weeks ago. It's two more weeks of that one. Also Tuesdays, please consider that. It's a great place to get some connection. So so join me if you will then. I've said enough, and let's join together in our affirmation of life, and stick around afterwards if you'd like and for some chit chat. And if you got somebody particularly you want to talk to, we'll put you in your own little room with them. So feel free to do that. So here it is. I leave this place knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you, Paul Gagné, for writing that for us years ago.